This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Meryl Streep. There's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can: colorectal cancer. It's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., but it is almost entirely preventable. Screening finds polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. If you're over 50, get screened for colorectal cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hi, this is Terrence Howard. My mother was the cornerstone of our family. She shaped me as an actor, a musician, as a human being. So when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was like our whole family got cancer. And she died when she was only 56, so this is personal. Now hopefully my heartbreak is your wake-up call. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer, but you can prevent this disease. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. I've been screened. If you think that you're at an increased risk like I am, ask your doctor when to start screening. And if you're 50 or older, get screened. I don't have my mother anymore. So please, do everything that you can to stay around for yourself and for your family. Screening saves lives.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
yeah.
Obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
All in together now, we can make it better now. Come on, can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll rope it up,
cause we know how to jump.
We'll roll it out,
cause we know how to skate.
We'll cut it down, swap it out.
We healthy stuff.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
Yeah, well come on.
Today's
come
a good on. Day to grab your kids and hang out with them for an hour. Dance, walk, play a sport, or cook a healthy meal. Because just moving a little and eating better every day can help make you and your child healthier.
Can we do it?
Yeah, you know that we can.
We'll ball it up,
cause we know how to hoop.
We'll mess around,
cause we know how to play.
We'll drop it down, drop it
down. We know how to dance.
We'll veg it up.
Search We Can online to find doable tips and activities that you can use every day to keep you and your kids healthy. Remember, that's We Can. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Good morning. You're listening to PSA Today, a community forum for public affairs hosted by Jessica Levity for Wilkes Broadcast Group in Reno. The purpose of this 30-minute show is to give a platform to our local community builders and to promote public service. So sit back, relax, and learn what your fellow citizens are up to.
Good morning and welcome to PSA Today. I'm your host, Jessica Levity. With me on today's show, I've got the Vice President from the Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality. I've got Katie. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
So let's tell everyone, as if they haven't heard of RISE before, what is it?
The Reno Initiative for Shelter and Equality is a community-run nonprofit that does a community potluck and a free market every Saturday at the shelter in the parking lot for our houseless neighbors. So people who can't get into the shelter and are most likely either sleeping on the streets or sleeping in weeklies part of the month.
And it's cold right now.
Yes, very.
So it's hard for, if you aren't making it into these shelters, you're not having a hot meal. This is your guys' way of serving.
Yes.
So how long have you guys been doing this?
It's been 4 years. 4 years.
Amazing. And tell the story of how RISE got started.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we were a group of friends tired of sitting around talking about problems and decided that we would try and do something. And we threw a bunch of stuff in our Wonder Pot and made a stew and brought it down to the shelter because we had heard that Saturdays was no longer being taken care of. And so we just jumped in and it felt good, so we kept doing it. And then when we decided to go further and make it a 501c3, we decided to start asking our neighbors to help to join in, and maybe they'd want to do it too. So we put it out there and on Craigslist, and we've been rocking and rolling ever since with a bunch of people.
So talk a little bit about the growth over the last 4 years. It started as this casual thing, but in the last 2 years, you guys have received a lot of press. You've gotten a lot of attention. Your network has grown. Talk about some of those changes.
That's a good point. We initially started just the five of us, and then we've started inviting others. So a lot of families started coming down, and then church groups or just community groups, high school teams and stuff would come down. So we've grown in that way, in that the more people we touch in our community that experience meeting their neighbors that they wouldn't necessarily hang out with. So that has grown in a way. So we do a lot of community building in that sense. It's grown in that we've gotten far more donations, so we're able to have a full-on free market when they come. They have blankets and hygiene items and clothes and dog food and shoes, all sorts of things now. Before, it was just clothing that we could gather ourselves. And then we started putting up giving gardens around. We've got three of those now. And that's gardens that are maintained by the people on the property, and then the food. We help install it, and then the food is donated to feed people. And then we also have a free market at the youth center now on 6th Street, the Youth Resource Center, which is basically what we do each week on Saturday, but it's downstairs in the basement of the youth center. So anyone 18 to 21, I believe, can come in and get blankets, hygiene items, clothing, etc. as well.
So talk a little bit about how RISE is kind of different from your average, like, state institutionalized, you know, type of resource for the community.
We don't have any red tape. So anyone who needs services gets it with no questions asked. There's no ID check, income verification. If you're down at the shelter getting food, we don't need to. We're fine. So that's one way we're different, in that we don't require any documentation to either grab items or food. And then the same thing at the youth center, we were able to make it so they can come in and grab it they do have to show how old they are, but I think that's pretty loose.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has an ID, but
Resources, you need resources. We don't need to know why you need resources.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it shouldn't be a burden in that way for them. And then also for the volunteer side, we do have a sign up sheet online so that we put it all out there. So if you sign up for a day, it's going to show in our spreadsheet that everyone can look at, the whole community, and go, oh, well, they're bringing spaghetti, salad, I'll bring the garlic bread.
Right.
So that you can kind of plan out what you bring. So it's an open source volunteer style. And also, none of our staff is paid. We're all volunteer.
Mm.
So
is that something that you guys would like to get to eventually as an organization?
What do you mean?
Would you like to see some of these more, some of these executive positions paid? Because you guys spend a lot of your time, and I know that it's coming from a place of wanting to give. But can you see your 501c3 growing to the point that grant money's coming in so that you can be paid for this work that you're doing?
That's a serious question right there.
I know. And I know you guys, you'd probably just put it right back into the organization.
I think that's our plan, at least for the next year, is we're not looking for paid positions.
Okay.
Mostly we're looking to grow the organization as a whole, to give more, and it wouldn't be focused on a salary at all, but at least in the next year.
So what does growth look like for RISE? More volunteers? More programs?
I would like more volunteer opportunities. Yeah, and housing.
Okay.
We are looking at that, but...
What does Reno need?
I think they need more commune-style opportunities for people in poverty. Places where they can live together, grow food together, and survive without threat of being moved along, pushed out, kicked out of their spot, evicted. So a place for people to feel comfortable, safe. Housing. Yeah. Free housing would be amazing.
The Reno Initiative for Shelter.
This is our plan. Equality.
So, and I know this is conjecture, but can you talk a little bit about why you think these things don't exist and where the flaws are in the system?
You're asking some serious questions now. Let's think about this.
It's a public affairs show, baby.
Yeah, you make a solid point. So I would say, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of pressure from the same old guard, the same people who've been there a long time. They've been doing this a long time, and they feel like they know it, right? They have solid background behind them. But the funding's not there to maintain those programs. So we've got to find a way that we can have a community-centered sustainable model that's not, we need money coming in every day to be able to make, to give people what they need. We should provide them with the opportunities to get, for them to be able to build their own.
Like growing food.
Yes.
The whole teach a man to fish thing.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So if we could put our money where our mouth was in that sense, but I don't feel like at least the current leaders are going to be putting our money that way. So they're going to stick to housing. Housing, it seems like they tend to go towards like the overflow shelter, which is like warehouse housing, where you just stick them all in a room, let them sleep. It's not safe. It's not comfortable.
And it's not solving any problems.
Right. It's just giving them something they need right then and there, which is needed. But if we were to put our money this way, hopefully we would diminish the need for it. And it would.
Okay.
That's my thought.
Go more upstream.
Yes.
Exactly. So what type of programs are needed upstream? Like you said, growing their own food. Like, what does this look like in this, you know, RISE utopia?
In ours, it would be, you know, we've got lots of weeklies sitting around empty right now, just boarded up. And if we could, I mean, and we're talking me, let's separate from RISE for just a second here.
Please,
In my mind, we'd rip up the parking lot and get a garden started, and the bottom stairs would be the community space, the community kitchen, the library, the arts room, and the workshops, and all, you know, all the places where they can create and do things. Upstairs could be the housing where they live and sleep, right? Yeah. And this is just based on this little weekly in my head, but
I know I love it. I mean, there's a reason I'm asking you these questions, because if these ideas are floating out there across the airwaves right now, you might be planting seeds.
That's a solid point. And if it's downtown, right where all the tourists are, why couldn't they create art and create, salvage things and create things and sell it right on the edge there and make and generate their own income to support their housing community? And not be so individualistic about it is my thought process.
Talk more about that, and keep in mind we're talking to Katie, not necessarily RISE right now. I want you to dig deeper into what you just said.
About the space?
Well, just, yeah, exactly.
Or the idea. The idea is to, I feel like the current model is get them stable enough to get a reasonable job to support their current life. There's no... And the programs that we have now are not long enough. It takes at least 2 years to get someone stable enough. And that's if there's not one single problem in that 2 years. It takes them 2 years to go from poverty to actually stable.
Okay.
And none of the programs we have are that long. Mm. So we always get people just up enough, and then we let them go and up. And I feel like that's why people keep falling back down, because it's so individualistic. If we were to think more on a... Give them a space to be a family together, to
grow
together.
I like this tribe thing.
Yes. And we don't have that opportunity right now. And because the opportunity takes money. And so, it would be nice to be able to get that opportunity in there. And if we can prove that that model works, that a sustainable house works, then why couldn't we have more? And why couldn't they also support the community around them? Like, if the people in that house have the skills for plumbing, have the skills for housework, even garden work, yard work, why couldn't they help the neighbors around that house, around that weekly, go out and help their neighbors? And then it's like a hub for that little community to build stronger. And I don't know what develops from that. You could only imagine.
I love this. I love where you're going with this Rise Utopia. Do you think, you know, that there's some existential block or some philosophical problem that we currently need to get through where it bothers us to think, you know, we're taking our homeless and allowing them to sustain a life instead of, you know, putting them to work, you know, or something like that?
I think there is that block in a lot of people's minds. I don't think it's going to stop me.
No, amen to that, girl. So as far as money goes, and yeah. I don't know very much about the way our local government budget is working right now. I know you get quite involved at the city level. So in your opinion, putting that out there, do we have the money? We're just using it in different areas. Where would you take the money from? Or do we just need more money?
I don't know that I feel comfortable answering that question.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
I wouldn't feel comfortable answering that question, mostly because I don't feel like I have the knowledge. The inner knowledge of where that budget is to be able to say. And honestly, it would be because there's not enough money, we'd be taking money from programs that really we do need it.
Yeah.
In the interim, right?
Right.
So it would be a hard call.
Well, and that's why these amazing nonprofits pop up. You know, Truckee Meadows Parks Foundation, they're an amazing local nonprofit that popped up because our parks lost so much funding via the government. You know, so if we hadn't lost that money on a local level, that nonprofit wouldn't have popped up. And so that's why you guys exist to take over where these needs are. But it still comes down to, you know, can just a millionaire show up out of nowhere and be like, here, Rise.
Yeah, they could. Please call me.
Yeah.
All millionaires.
buy one of these weeklies and create sustainability.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be amazing. How much of your personal philosophy are you comfortable sharing on air about why you choose to get involved? Because there's so many things to get involved with, arts, you know, government, whatever. You feel called to do this work. Why is that?
Well, I always think of the phrase, think globally, act locally.
Love it.
So I do feel like I personally get overwhelmed by all of the things in the world that need to be changed, honestly. I mean, just war itself. We need to get out of that. But can that me personally do that? I don't think so. And so I think act locally. What does that mean to me? How do I change my community in a way that's not, I hate to say this word because I can't think of any other word, but like in a nonviolent way, how do you nonviolently change the system and change our world, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I need to find a way. If you don't include people in poverty, it's not a worthy cause.
Yep.
You have to make it accessible to the poor.
Yep.
So let's start there. How can I make a sustainable model that we can all be involved in that can build up? So if I can prove that model works, then more models will start popping up, and hopefully just that little spark will get other people to do the same, because I don't have to do it all.
Right.
I just need to spark it.
I love it.
That's my thought.
That's a great soundbite right there. That's fantastic. And because we have been talking about the shelter part of Rise, and I wanted you to talk a little bit more about equality and where your feelings are on that and like what is wrong with the system, because I follow you on social media and I see the equality stuff that you're posting, and I want to know what your feelings are about where we're lacking.
And are we talking about in the system as far as the current access to people in poverty experience?
Yeah, where's this equality play in? Wax equality for me.
Well, okay, this is a good point. I do feel like, I always feel like I throw them under the bus. The shelter tends to be men and women. So no, you cannot sleep with your partner. I feel like this is a tense issue because people will sleep outside so they can sleep next to their partner. They do not want to be
separated.
So that's a major gap. I find that a lot. There's couples where the guy will sleep outside with the stuff all night and so his wife can sleep indoors. And that is heartbreaking to me. And there's also the pets issue where if you have a pet and you need that, because when you are sleeping outside, you need a pet to wake up in the middle of the night and protect you.
Yeah.
Right. But if you can't bring them in the shelter, that means you're always sleeping outside. There's no option unless you get rid of your animal. And I think those are the two major issues as far as what's wrong on that level. That affects people daily.
And
mental health. Yeah. And that's another thing is the wash system. I think a lot of people feel like if they're homeless, they're drunks or on drugs. And a lot of times I think there's a lot of issue with a mental illness and not being, it doesn't matter if they were stable enough on, they're not going to be stable enough to hold down a job. So they're always going to be in this situation.
Mm.
And
so not having access to proper medication leads one to other substances,
right,
which, you know, then creates a bias,
mm-hmm,
from people who don't understand,
mm-hmm,
and then you're dealing with more inequality.
Right.
Yeah.
Well said. That was Arthur chiming in there in the background off mic. Well, I'm just really proud of Rise. You guys are so selfless.
Oh, thank you.
And such an incredible organization. Is there anything you wanted to talk about the Homeless Youth Count? This is a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it a couple weeks ago with community builder Meredith Tanzer, but we cannot talk about this too much. So go ahead and tell everyone what's going on.
So speaking of things that need to change, the point in time count is a federally mandated once a year. They count all the people who are living without a home. They do it in the middle of winter, which I think needs to change. If you want an accurate count, it needs to be in warmer weather. Everyone's hiding in the winter. So that's an issue. But the point in time count is January 28th at the Circle downtown. And there's going to be, I think, a little magnet one at the Youth Center as well. And we are collecting donations for a free market at that event. So people underneath 24 will be coming in and they fill out a form about what they're going through, that count them, quote unquote. And then they can come to the free market and get whatever they need. No questions asked. So we need sleeping bags, tents, blankets, coats, and backpacks are the biggest things. And you can drop them off at the food co-op downtown on Court Street, Amplified Relations on Washington downtown, and Nurturing Nest on Longley Lane. And there's one other place. Doughboys at the south end of town.
Nice.
I'm not exactly sure the street on that one.
Okay.
But, or you can contact us directly through Facebook or email me at katie@renoinitiative.org and I can do a pickup if it's a big enough load.
Yeah. Awesome. And you need volunteers as well.
We do need volunteers and I'm not sure how to sign up for the volunteer situation,
okay,
but you can just come down in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't have any right. But
yeah.
We'll be setting up at 5-6 o'clock on the 27th. We'll be there all the way until 8 a.m. on Friday, the 29th.
This is a really big deal because talk about what this count does.
It provides funding for the entire city. So they use these numbers to justify, a lot of organizations use it to justify asking for grant money and whatnot
right,
in Reno. So
and
it's
if we're
deal.
Underrepresenting the number, we're not doing a service to our community.
Agreed. That is an issue I have. I would love to throw a mini pit count in the middle of summer just to prove that I'm
yeah,
right.
Why
but that
are we
would take
doing
a lot of
it in the winter when we're going to get less people
it's
out?
It's federally mandated.
Last year, the weather was beautiful.
Right.
Year before, it was horrendous.
I'm sorry, but it's been freezing cold every year.
Yeah. I guess I was only there volunteering during the nice part. I am. Do you hear that? My bias coming in. Yes. And you guys are there for 24 hours.
Yeah. We were there the entire time last year and a lot of the time the year before that. But yeah, the middle of the night is freezing.
Yeah, it's freezing. And you guys are angels. You're earth angels. That's what you are. So if you want to get involved with that, just check out your website.
Renoinitiative.org.
.org. Perfect. Katie, thank you so much for coming in. Arthur, thanks for holding space back there.
Thanks, Arthur.
If you want to learn more about Rise and how you can get involved, renoinitiative.org. If you want to get involved in the pit count too, we'll have more information for you. You can follow all of our radio station's Facebook pages because every year I post volunteer opportunities and information about the Homeless Youth Count. All right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
But with you.
It's not worth
kings, like 100,000 voices that just can't sing. I reached out to love, but I feel nothing. Oh, my heart is numb.
What you hear isn't just any beat. It's the actual heartbeat of a child in need. This is Ryan Tedder from OneRepublic. The beat of our new song, Feel Again, was created with heartbeats of children in need. Find out how it can help frontline health workers save millions of children at everybeatmatters.org.
Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going to
do is turn onto Marcy
and Brett
Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three
she's
lights
happy about
and then take
it.
The next left.
I don't really
then drive
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
and you should be there.
Who am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway.
On the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
There's a part of our world that we pay little attention to. Here, an ant drags a seed five times its own size. A grasshopper devours a fresh leaf. And a bee sips from a drop of dew. And down here, toxic chemicals and carcinogens are leaching into our environment. They come from objects that we look past every day. Littered cigarette butts. Every one is a tiny, toxic waste site. And there are millions of them. Right where we live, work, and play. Let's stop the toxic litter. Learn more at RethinkButts.org. Brought to you by Legacy and Leave No Trace.
Hi, I'm Lynn Warney, President of the Nevada State Education Association. The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Hi, I'm Lynn Warney, President of the Nevada State Education Association. Dr. Seuss was right. Reading is the key to learning. Studies have shown that kids who read and are read too do better in school and in life. The best part is, it doesn't matter what you read, the classics or the comics. Whatever sparks a student's interest, football, dance, trains, there's a book about it just waiting to be read, a door just waiting to open. And if your student hasn't found the joy of reading yet, try thinking outside the book. Read baseball cards together. Try doing crossword puzzles or word games, or have your child read a favorite recipe to you. They read, you measure the chocolate chips. Encouraging a love of reading now is a gift that pays off over a lifetime. So go read and help a child succeed.
A message from the Nevada State Education Association.
So yesterday I was in the park and I just happened to run into this guy named Mike who served in Iraq. I served in Vietnam as a Marine. Then he asked,
so I've been feeling down, having a hard time. Now does it get any better?
It will get better. Paralyzed Veterans of America will help you. They helped me get my health care and VA benefits and rebuild my life.
Paralyzed Veterans of America, changing lives, building futures. To learn more, visit pva.org.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.